This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, January 30th, 2015. I'm Caleb Brown. New documents reveal the vast and intrusive program by the DEA and other agencies to track license plates, with the hint that they'd compile that data on people at gun shows and other gatherings. Adam Bates is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute's Project on Criminal Justice. He describes the problem.
The ACLU submitted a FOIA request to the Drug Enforcement Agency, and from the data they got back, they found that the DEA has a expansive program of license plate readers, and this data that the DEA has been collecting from people's cars, from their license plates, is being collated and warehoused. And obviously there are concerns about who has access to this information and what it's being used for.
This is from The Guardian. Documents released by the ACLU on Wednesday show that Drug Enforcement Administration officials in Phoenix planned on, quote, working closely with the BATF to monitor public gun shows with the automatic technology as early as 2009.
Right. So the DEA has said that this was merely a suggestion that was never implemented. But the ACLU pointed out that nothing they got from their FOIA request constitutes a denial of this program. We basically have to take the DEA's word that this was never actually implemented. But the idea was to set up at public gun shows with these automated license plate readers and collect the license plate information of everybody who came in and out of that gun show. And obviously the kinds of things like where you're going and what groups of people you associate with has historically been a kind of protected idea in American law, that freedom of assembly should be free from scrutiny of the government unless you're engaged in some kind of behavior or there is some kind of suspected criminal activity. So the fact that you attend a mosque or a church or a gun show, there's no legitimate reason for the government to be compiling and scrutinizing this data absent some particular suspicion that you've engaged in some kind of wrongdoing.
This turns that sort of suspicion on its head, which is you, your data, that is to say your license plate travels around in particular ways that then matches some sort of profile. There is no suspicion whatsoever other than people who are engaged in crime might well engage in this pattern of movements.
Right. And the seemingly legitimate use and the justification for these programs is we want to use this data to find people who are accused of wrongdoing. We want to find stolen vehicles. We want to find drug traffickers. We want to find the murderer who fled in this car. But what ends up happening is rather than using the data to find people who have committed crimes, they use the data to create this impression that people are guilty of criminal activity. So rather than facilitating the investigation, the data garnered from these license plate readers ends up beginning the investigation. People who were under no suspicion of any wrongdoing before their information was taken now become suspects.
Who has access to this data?
It depends by jurisdiction. I mean, there are hundreds of these databases with local, state, and federal law enforcement agency. The DEA says it restricts access to its database. It's unclear exactly how and to whom and what standards are in place. At the state and local level, jurisdictions vary from anybody who has access to the license plate readers, such as the patrol police, anybody associated with the department has access to it, to departments where it's more restricted based on particular investigations. And it's also important to note that there are private databases of this information and that are in the hands of private companies, and there are legitimate private uses of this information. Towing companies, for instance, have used automatic license plate readers for years to locate vehicles that are subject to being towed or repossessed. So these companies then contract with the government to provide access to these private databases. And yes, very little is known about who has access to these databases and what restrictions are in place once they're inside the database on how they can actually use that information.
Are there clear parallels between this and the Supreme Court's Jones decision on location tracking, GPS location tracking of an individual's vehicle?
Logically, there are parallels. I mean, it's the same kind of impulse from law enforcement that they want a record of where people are and where they've gone, and the idea that that information has value. It's not just this kind of benign thing. You can form a comprehensive picture of someone's life simply by tracking their car's movements on a day-to-day basis. As a legal matter, it's not clear how much protection Jones provides, simply because that was a case where they were targeting one specific person, and this automated license plate reader program is hundreds of millions of people, and it's not this kind of particularized intrusion into an individual's life. It's this blanket vacuuming of this data that is theoretically publicly available because your public car movements are occur in public, but the collation of all this data and plotting out individual points obviously represents an intrusion whenever the government decides to focus its attention on one particular person.
Now, police argue or have argued that, well, we could just put a cop out there and he could write these numbers down and check them against databases and say this car went by this spot at this time. But of course, they don't do that.
Right. And there's some history in the Supreme Court's jurisprudence about this idea that anything that goes on that a human police officer could observe if he put in the effort is not a search for Fourth Amendment purposes. But I feel like that jurisprudence has not really kept up with advances in technology, because obviously, realistically speaking, despite the fact that all of these cars are in public and on public roadways, you couldn't pragmatically station police officers to record the license plate numbers of every single car that drives by and check them against some database. People don't do that. The police don't engage in that behavior, even if on some theoretical law school idea they could.
Now, the flip side of this, not directly related but sort of related, is the app Waze, which allows people to tag the locations of police officers in the United States. And according to NPR, some officers have asked the app to remove police tracking.
Yes. Well, the courts have been very protective of this idea that people have a right to tell other people where the police are. And there are cases of people holding signs ahead of speed traps and things like that to let people know that the police were there. And those people have been arrested in the past and charged with obstructing investigations, obstruction of justice. And the courts have generally protected your right to tell people where the police are. So this movement against Waze, my understanding is, came about as a result of the murder of two police officers in New York City, although the app had nothing to do with it. There's no evidence that that person who killed those police officers used any kind of app to find out where they were. But that is what's being used by the police to say, look, we need to be more secretive about where the police are. The police have a right to be places without anyone knowing. I don't find that argument particularly persuasive. There's no evidence that anyone is using these apps to target police, and where the police are and what they're doing is a matter of public record.
Adam Bates is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute's Project on Criminal Justice. Read more of his work at cato.org.